All right. So, have you ever really thought about like why we judge a website like the second we land on it? I mean, we all do it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like good, bad, indifferent. We've got an opinion. And so that's what we're going to dive into today. We're looking at this article. It's called The Impact of Professional Web Design on Visual Appeal. And I think whether or not you are someone who's, about to launch a website or redo your website, or you're just kind of fascinated by like the psychology of why we do things online, I think this is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I think what's really interesting about this is that there is a lot that goes on beneath the surface, right? So it's not just about like, oh, this is a pretty website, or, it's not just about the pictures that you see. It's really about first impressions and how those visuals can really make or break a website.
So, like, how many times have you landed on a website and been like, nope, I'm out of here?
Oh yeah, all the time.
And you don't even know why.
Yeah, you just get a bad feeling. You're like, I don't like this. I'm leaving.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to break down today.
Cool.
So, instead of just being like, oh, this is good design, we're going to figure out like why it is.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty.
Okay. So, tell me a little bit about like, I guess some of the findings of this article. Like, what did it say about the impact of professional web design?
Sure. So there was a study highlighted in this article, and it found that websites that had a clear visual hierarchy actually had a 20% increase in user engagement,
Oh, wow.
which is huge.
That's a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number. And what that means is that people actually stayed on the page longer and they interacted with the content more.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not just about, it looking nice. It's about actually keeping people on your site and getting them to engage with what you're putting out there.
So it's measurable.
Exactly. It's measurable.
Okay, so that's good. I mean, it's not just like
It's not just subjective.
subjective. Okay, cool. So now I have a question. When we talk about professional web design, what does that even mean? Like, is it just about hiring someone who you think has like good taste?
No, it's so much more than that.
Okay.
A professional web designer is really like a strategist. They understand a lot of different things.
Okay.
They understand design principles, obviously, but they also understand things like user experience, branding. All of those things kind of come together. And so they know how to align the visuals that you see on a website with whatever the business goals are and how to target the right audience. So it's really about crafting a site that not just looks good, but actually achieves its purpose.
So less about making things pretty and more about making things work.
Exactly. Yeah. I think a good analogy is like you wouldn't hire an architect just because they draw pretty houses, right? You hire them because they understand structure and function and how to make a space that really meets your needs. A web designer does that, but in the digital world.
Makes sense. Okay, cool. Now, one thing I hear all the time, but I always get a little fuzzy on, is this idea of user experience or UX. Can you break that down for me a little bit?
So UX is essentially how a person interacts with and experiences a website. So good UX means that the site is easy to use, it's easy to navigate, and it's easy to understand. It's all about like minimizing frustration and maximizing enjoyment.
So if I'm on a website and I'm like clicking around aimlessly and can't find what I'm looking for, that's probably a sign of bad UX.
That's a pretty clear sign that something needs improvement.
Okay.
And the article talks about some specific techniques that designers use to kind of create that seamless experience,
Yeah.
like things like breadcrumb navigation.
Oh,
So
yeah.
you always know where you are on the site.
I like those.
Yeah, they're helpful.
Okay, what else?
Sticky menus. So those are the ones that stay put as you scroll.
Oh, yeah.
And intuitive page layouts that just make sense.
Okay, so like it's not just by chance that some websites are easy to use and others are like a nightmare.
No, not at all. It's very intentional.
And how does this all tie into things like conversion rates?
So a well-designed website leads to higher user satisfaction, which means people stay on the site longer and they're more likely to take a desired action, whether that's buying a product, signing up for a newsletter, or just learning more about your brand. So investing in good UX design isn't just about being nice to users. It can actually impact your bottom line.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if people are having a good experience, they're more likely to stick around and do the things you want them to do. Okay, so good UX equals more money, potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
Okay, cool. So now let's talk about something that is essential in today's world, and that is responsive design.
Okay.
I know this is huge, but can you just break down exactly what it means and like why it's so important?
Sure. So think about how often you switch between your phone, your tablet, your laptop throughout the day.
Oh my gosh, all the time.
Right, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
And we expect websites to just work no matter what device we're on.
Right.
And that's what responsive design is all about.
Okay.
It makes sure that the website adapts seamlessly to different screen sizes.
Okay.
So the experience is consistent whether you're on a tiny phone or a giant monitor.
And I've heard this is important for SEO too, is that right?
Absolutely. Google actually prioritizes mobile-friendly websites in its search rankings.
Oh, wow.
So if your site isn't responsive, you're not just, you know, annoying users, mm-hmm. you're potentially hurting your visibility online.
Yeah, no one wants that.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so responsive design, a must, no more excuses.
Exactly.
All right, now another thing that always stands out to me is branding and design consistency.
Okay.
I know just personally I'm more likely to trust a brand if their website, like, feels cohesive and professional, like, you know, that's all matching. And
yeah, you're hitting on something really important.
Okay.
So the article actually uses the analogy of a physical store.
Okay.
You know, when you walk into a store,
yeah,
everything from the signage to the displays to the, you know, the way the products are arranged, it all reinforces the brand identity.
Yeah.
And your website should do the same thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So consistent use of colors, fonts, imagery, all of those things build recognition and trust.
Okay.
Have you ever been to a website where, like, everything just felt kind of mismatched and unprofessional?
Oh, yeah. It makes me question, like, can I trust these people with my, you know, credit card information or whatever it is?
Exactly. It raises a red flag for sure.
Totally.
So a big part of that is understanding color psychology, which is something the article talks about in detail.
All right. I got to say, that is a part that I'm super fascinated by.
Yeah.
So tell me more.
Okay, so it's really powerful stuff.
Okay.
Different colors evoke specific emotions and associations in people.
Okay.
So, for example, blue is often associated with trust and calmness,
right,
which is why a lot of banks use it.
Interesting.
Red can stimulate excitement or urgency.
Like sales signs.
Exactly, like sales signs.
Okay.
So when you're choosing a color palette for your website, it's not just about what looks pretty.
Right.
It's about the message you want to send and the feelings you want to evoke.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So it's all about strategy.
It's all about strategy.
I love it.
Yeah. And then there's typography, which is the style and arrangement of text.
Oh, right.
And that can also convey a brand's tone and personality.
Okay.
So like a playful brand might use a whimsical font.
Yeah.
Whereas a luxury brand might go for something elegant and classic.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of thought that goes into something as seemingly simple as choosing a font.
Every detail matters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've talked about color psychology and typography and all that good stuff, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about like the actual content of the website.
Okay.
So I have great content, but if people can't find it or it's like really difficult to get to, what's the point?
Well, that's where navigation and layout come in.
Okay.
So even the best content in the world is useless if people can't find it or get overwhelmed trying to.
Totally. I've definitely been on websites where I'm just like, I give up.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
It's so frustrating.
It is so frustrating.
Yeah. So professional designers use techniques like clear menu structures, intuitive labeling, breadcrumbs we talked about before.
Right.
You know, all these things to organize the information in a way that makes sense to the user.
Yeah.
And helps them find what they're looking for quickly and easily.
So they're like creating a roadmap for the user.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Cool. So the easier it is to navigate, the more likely people are to stay engaged.
Yes.
Explore the different pages and ultimately, like, you know, convert into a customer or a client or whatever it is you want them to do.
Exactly.
Okay, speaking of making things easier, let's talk about page load speed.
Okay.
I know if a website takes too long to load, I'm out.
You and everybody else.
Yeah, I'm like, bye.
Yeah, studies have shown that even a 1 second delay in page load time can result in a 7% reduction in conversions.
Oh, wow.
So in today's fast-paced digital world, people have very little patience.
Yeah.
They want things instantly.
Okay, so what are some things that designers can do to speed things up?
Sure.
Because I hear terms like caching and code optimization, but I'm not really sure what they mean.
Yeah, so caching is basically like creating a temporary storage space on the user's device.
Oh, okay.
So instead of downloading the entire website every time they visit a new page, some elements are already there, ready to go.
So it's like making things more efficient.
Exactly.
Not changing the content itself.
Right. And then code optimization is kind of like cleaning up the website's behind the scenes instructions.
Oh, okay.
So minifying code is like removing all the unnecessary spaces and comments,
right.
Making it more compact and faster to download.
Okay.
And combining files is like packing multiple suitcases into one.
Yeah.
You know, reducing the number of trips back and forth.
So it's all about getting rid of the fluff.
Exactly. Streamlining things.
Okay. So it gets a little technical, but the end result is like a faster, smoother experience for the user.
That's the goal.
Okay, great. All right. So we've covered a lot. We've talked about, you know, first impressions, user experience, branding navigation.
Yeah.
And it's clear that a lot of thought and strategy goes into professional web design.
Absolutely.
So now I want to talk about something called visual hierarchy.
Oh, okay.
Because when you look at a well-designed page, your eye is drawn to certain elements first.
Right.
Like a catchy headline or a compelling image.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming that's not an accident.
It's not an accident at all.
Okay, so tell me how that works.
So professional designers use things like headings, subheadings, font sizes, colors, positioning to create that visual hierarchy.
Okay.
They're guiding your eye, emphasizing the most important information, and making the content easier to digest.
So it's like a visual roadmap for the user.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So it's like you're showing them, hey, look at this first.
Right.
Then look at this.
You're controlling the flow of information.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I have a challenge for you and our listeners.
Okay, I'm ready.
Think about a web page you like.
Oh.
Could be a news article, a blog post, even like a product page.
Okay.
And see if you can spot how visual hierarchy is being used.
That's a good one.
What elements stand out to you first?
Yeah.
And how is the content organized?
That's a great way to become more aware of how design is working.
Yeah. And it makes you really appreciate the thought that goes into it.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So now let's talk about something that I think is like really interesting. And that is call to action elements.
Okay.
Or CTAs.
Right.
So these are the elements that like prompt users to take a specific action.
Yes.
Whether it's like buy now or sign up for my newsletter or download this thing.
Exactly.
So things like buttons and forms.
Yeah, buttons, forms, anything that's asking the user to take a specific action.
Okay, cool. And believe it or not, there's a science to designing effective CTAs.
Oh, there is for sure.
I've seen some really bad ones.
Yeah.
What are some like common mistakes that people make and how can we avoid them?
Sure. So one common mistake is making the CTA blend in too much with the rest of the page.
Yeah.
It needs to stand out visually.
Okay.
Another mistake is using a really generic language like click here.
Right.
The copy should be specific and persuasive.
Oh, okay.
And clearly state the benefit of taking action.
So it's not just about like telling people what to do. It's about giving them a reason to do it.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. And what about placement?
Placement is super important too.
Okay.
You want to put the CTA in a place where it's most likely to be seen and clicked.
So it's like understanding how people look at a website.
Exactly.
And putting the CTA in the right spot.
It's all about guiding the user's eye and leading them towards the action you want them to take.
It's amazing how much like psychology goes into something as seemingly simple as a button.
It's all about psychology.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about visuals, we've talked about branding, user experience, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Now I want to talk about building trust and credibility.
Okay.
Because if a website looks like amateurish or untrustworthy, I am less likely to, you know, give them my money or my information or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a natural reaction.
Yeah. So how can we like design for trust?
Right. So professional designers understand how to incorporate trust-building elements into the design.
Okay. What are some of those elements?
So things like customer testimonials, certifications, secure payment options.
Okay.
Those are all signals that the brand is legitimate and reliable and cares about its customers.
Right.
Even something as simple as a professional looking design can make a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all about creating that sense of confidence.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about something that's a little bit more technical, but equally important. And that is compatibility.
Okay.
So making sure the website works on different devices and browsers.
Right.
So like my phone, my computer, my tablet, and Chrome and Safari and all the different browsers.
Exactly. You got it.
Okay. So how do web designers like ensure compatibility across all these different platforms?
So responsive design, which we talked about earlier, plays a big role here.
Right.
It ensures that the website adapts and displays properly on different screen sizes.
Okay.
But compatibility goes beyond just screen size.
Okay.
It also means making sure that the website functions correctly across different browsers.
Right.
So that might involve using web standards, testing the website in different browsers, and addressing any compatibility issues that come up.
So that sounds like a lot of work.
It can be.
Right.
But it's essential for providing a seamless and consistent user experience.
Yeah.
Because if a website doesn't work properly in a particular browser, users are likely to just get frustrated and leave.
And that's not what we want.
No, definitely not.
All right, so speaking of things we don't want, let's talk about future-proofing a website.
Okay.
So what does that even mean?
So it's about being proactive and designing the website in a way that allows it to adapt and evolve as technology changes.
Okay.
You know, user expectations change.
Right.
Think of it like building a house with a strong foundation. You can renovate and add rooms without bringing the whole thing down.
Okay, so instead of having to completely rebuild the website every few years, it's designed to be flexible.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, for example, using clean, well-structured code makes it easier to update and maintain the website in the future.
Okay.
And choosing a content management system that's flexible and scalable allows you to add new features and functionality as needed.
So it's like building in the potential for growth.
Right.
Okay.
And another aspect of future-proofing is accessibility.
Okay, right. So making sure the website can be used by people with disabilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by incorporating accessibility from the start, you're not just doing the right thing. You're also setting yourself up for success in the long run.
Okay.
Because accessibility standards are constantly evolving too.
So it's not like a one-time checklist?
It's not a one-time checklist. It's an ongoing process.
Got it.
Yeah. And the beauty is that a lot of the principles of accessible design also benefit users without disabilities.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like clear and concise language, alternative text for images, logical navigation.
Yeah.
All these things make the website easier for everyone to use.
It's like a win-win.
It's a win-win for sure.
Okay, cool. So this has been really eye-opening.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been walking around with blinders on.
I know. It's amazing how much goes into it.
I know, right? It's not just like, oh, I'm going to put up a website.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's a lot more than people realize.
It is, and I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, me too.
For those of you who are listening and maybe feeling a little overwhelmed, like, where do we even begin?
Right.
What is, like, the most important takeaway? What should people, like, start with?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think if you take away just one thing from this conversation, it should be your website is often the first point of contact a potential customer or client has with your brand.
That's right.
It's your digital storefront, your online ambassador.
Yeah.
It needs to make a strong, positive, and lasting impression.
It's not just about having a website. It's about having a website that, like, works.
Yeah.
And does what you want it to do.
And that represents you well.
Yeah. So it's not just like, check, I have a website now.
Right.
It's about, like,
it's got to be a good one.
It's got to be good.
Yeah. And that's where professional web design comes in.
Okay.
You know, it's about understanding the psychology of design, the nuances of user experience, the technical aspects that make a website function smoothly and effectively.
Yeah.
It's about creating a website that not only looks good, but also works hard for your business.
So for anyone out there who's like maybe thinking about whether or not they should invest in professional web design.
Yeah.
I think this conversation has shown that it's probably a good idea.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just for big businesses with massive budgets. Professional web design is accessible to businesses of all sizes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There are talented designers out there who can work within your budget to create a website that meets your needs.
Awesome. All right. So as we're wrapping up part one of this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with a little bit of homework.
All right.
So think about your own online presence.
Okay.
Maybe it's your company website or your personal blog or even just like your social media profiles.
Yeah.
And think about one element that we've discussed today that you could focus on improving.
Oh, that's good.
So what stands out to you as an area where you could like make a positive impact?
Yeah. I like that.
Maybe it's something as simple as like choosing a more compelling color palette or as complex as overhauling your website navigation.
Right.
But the important thing is to take action.
Yes.
And just start making those improvements.
Even small changes can make a big difference.
Exactly. And remember, the digital world is constantly evolving.
That's true.
So like what works today might not work tomorrow.
So you got to stay on top of it.
Yeah. So stay curious. Keep learning and never stop experimenting.
I love that.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our deep dive into the world of professional web design.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we're back and we're talking all things professional web design.
Yes, we are.
And before the break, we were talking about like making some changes and, you know, kind of taking action and all that good stuff.
Right.
But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I want to like rewind a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about something that we mentioned earlier but didn't really dive into.
Yeah.
And that's this idea of future-proofing a website.
Okay.
Because honestly, it sounds kind of intimidating.
Yeah, I can see what.
It's like, am I supposed to like predict the future of the internet?
No, not quite that dramatic.
Okay.
But it's more about designing and building your website in a way that allows it to adapt as technology advances.
Okay.
You know, user expectations change, things like that.
So being like proactive rather than reactive?
Exactly, being forward thinking.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so instead of scrambling to catch up every time something new comes along, you're kind of building it in from the start.
Yeah, you're like anticipating the changes.
Right.
Okay, cool. So the article gave a few examples of how to do this. So yeah. Can you talk about those?
Sure. So one example is using clean, well-structured code.
Okay.
So this makes it much easier to update and maintain your website in the future.
So it's like organizing your files.
Yeah, exactly. Like if everything's labeled and in the right folder, it's much easier to find what you need later.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah. So clean code just makes everything run smoother.
And it probably makes it easier if like you have to bring in another developer or something.
Absolutely. It makes collaboration so much easier.
Okay, cool. What's another example?
Another example is choosing a content management system, or CMS,
right,
that's flexible and scalable.
Okay.
That way you can easily add new features and functionality as your business grows.
Yeah.
Without having to rebuild the whole thing.
So you're not like starting from scratch every time.
Exactly. It's like building a house with a strong foundation.
Yeah.
You can renovate and add rooms without tearing the whole thing down.
Oh, I like that. I'm full of analogies today.
That's good. Analogies are helpful.
They are. They make things make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got clean code, we've got a flexible CMS.
Right.
What else?
And this actually ties back to something we talked about earlier, which is accessibility.
Oh, okay.
So making sure that the website can be used by people with disabilities.
Right.
And by incorporating accessibility from the start, you're not just doing the right thing, you're also future-proofing your website.
Oh, interesting, because those standards are always changing too.
Exactly. Accessibility standards are always evolving.
So it's not like a one and done thing.
Right. It's an ongoing commitment.
Okay.
But the cool thing is that a lot of the principles of accessible design actually benefit users without disabilities too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So things like clear and concise language, alternative text or images, logical navigation, these things make the website easier for everyone to use.
So it's like a win-win.
It's a win-win for sure.
Accessibility for all.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So I have to say this whole deep dive has been so eye-opening.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It is. It's a lot to take in. I feel like I've been like walking around with blinders on.
I know, right?
Not really seeing all the thought and the strategy that goes into web design.
It's easy to take it for granted.
It is.
But once you start to peel back the layers, it's fascinating.
It really is.
And the more you understand, the better equipped you are to create a website that actually works.
So for people who are listening and they're like, okay, my mind is blown.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that we should all take away from this conversation?
I think the most important takeaway is that your website is often the first point of contact a potential customer or client has with your brand.
Right.
It's your digital storefront. It's your online ambassador. It needs to make a strong, positive, and lasting impression.
So it's not just about having a website.
Right. It's about having a website that works.
It's got to be good.
It's got to represent you well.
Yeah. You don't want to just check the box and say, okay, I have a website.
Exactly.
It needs to be good.
It needs to be good.
Yeah.
And that's where professional web design comes in.
Okay.
It's about understanding the psychology of design, the nuances of user experience, the technical aspects that make a website function smoothly and effectively.
Yeah. It's all about strategy.
Exactly.
Okay. So for anyone out there who's like maybe on the fence about whether or not to invest in professional web design.
Yeah.
I think this conversation has shown that it's a good idea.
I think it's a worthwhile investment.
Yeah.
And it's important to note that it's not just for big businesses with massive budgets.
Right.
Professional web design is accessible to businesses of all sizes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There are talented designers out there who can work within your budget to create a website that meets your needs.
Okay, great. So as we're wrapping up this part of the deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with a little bit of homework.
Right. I like homework.
Okay, so think about your own online presence.
Yeah.
Maybe it's your company, website, your personal blog, even your social media profiles.
Okay.
What's one element that we've talked about today that you could focus on improving?
That's a good one.
So what stands out to you as an area where you can make a positive impact?
I love that.
So maybe it's something as simple as choosing a more compelling color palette or as complex as overhauling your website's navigation.
Right.
But the important thing is to take action and start making those improvements. Even small changes can make a big difference.
Yeah. And remember, the digital world is constantly evolving.
That's true.
What works today might not work tomorrow.
So stay curious.
Right.
Keep learning and never stop experimenting.
I love that.
Okay, so we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our deep dive into the world of professional web design.
Sounds good.
All right, so we're back and ready for part three of our deep dive into professional web design.
Yeah, this has been a really interesting conversation.
It has been. I've learned a lot.
Me too.
So before we wrap things up, I kind of want to like zoom out a little bit
okay.
and think about like the big picture.
Right.
So we've talked about all these different elements of web design, right?
Right. Tons of stuff.
Color psychology, typography, navigation.
UX responsive design, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. But what if we could like wave a magic wand and instantly improve just one of those things on our own websites?
Oh, that's a good question.
Which one would you choose?
That is a tough one.
I know, right?
I think for me, it would probably be page load speed.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. I think it's just so, in today's world, you know, people have such short attention spans.
Right.
If a website takes too long to load, they're just going to bounce.
Yeah. They're gone.
Yeah. So I think having a website that loads quickly would just have a huge impact on user experience and conversions.
Yeah. That makes sense. What about you? That's a good one. I think for me, it would probably be navigation.
Oh, interesting. Why navigation?
Yeah, because I think if people can't find what they're looking for on your website, they're not going to stick around.
Right. It's like getting lost in a store.
Yeah, exactly. It's frustrating.
Yeah. You just give up and leave.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how great your content is or how beautiful your design is if people can't find it.
Yeah. It's all for nothing.
Yeah. So I think having a really clear and intuitive navigation system would just make a huge difference.
I think so, too. It's so important.
Okay. So we've each picked our magic wand element.
Yeah.
But I think the real challenge here is for our listeners to think about what their magic wand element would be.
Right. What would they choose?
Yeah. So if you could instantly improve just one aspect of your website, what would it be and why?
It's a great question to think about.
It is. It's all about prioritization.
Exactly.
Because we all have limited time and resources.
We do.
So it's like, what's going to move the needle the most?
Right. What's going to have the biggest impact?
Yeah. And sometimes just like identifying that one key area is enough to like spark some real progress.
Yeah, it gives you a starting point.
Yeah, a place to focus your energy.
Exactly.
This has been such a great conversation. I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too. It's been really fun.
Yeah, it has. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay.
Think about all the elements we've covered today. First impressions, user experience, color psychology, typography, navigation page, load speed, visual hierarchy call to actions, trust building elements, compatibility, future proofing accessibility.
Wow, that's a lot.
I know it's a lot, but it's all important.
It is.
And if you could wave that magic wand and instantly improve just one of those aspects on your own website, which one would it be and why?
What's the one area that if you could perfect it would have the biggest positive impact on your online presence?
Yeah, and help you achieve your goals.
Exactly.
Think about it, explore it, and most importantly, take action.
Your future self will thank you.
All right, so that's it for this episode of The Deep Dive.
Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of professional web design and that you learned some valuable insights that you can apply to your own online presence.
And don't forget to check out the show notes for links to the original article and other helpful resources.
Until next time, keep learning, keep experimenting, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible in the ever-evolving world of web design.
See ya.